It is Wednesday, November 18th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
States across the country are crying out for help from the federal government as the coronavirus takes its toll, not only on their populations, but on their budgets. And they need it before Joe Biden gets sworn in as president next year. Meanwhile, Biden has reportedly told his staff he isn't interested in investigating or prosecuting Donald Trump. Apparently, he doesn't want to be defined by his predecessor, which, I mean, frankly, sounds like a personal problem. And lastly, new research suggests that there's good reason for hope that people who catch coronavirus and get better gain a long-lasting immunity.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
This may not shock regular listeners, but the Associated Press reports that it's shaping up to be a bleak winter. With more shutdowns looming and a vaccine months away from wide distribution, governors across the United States are pleading for more help from Washington. Renewed restrictions on indoor businesses, overloaded hospitals, and the coming end of unemployment benefits for millions of Americans have led governors to paint a dire picture of the months ahead. That is, of course, unless the federal government steps in with more money and leadership to help beat back the resurgence of the coronavirus. Between now and June 2022, state and local governments could be facing a shortfall of $400 billion or more. Cost of distributing tens of millions of doses of a vaccine next year is also emerging as a major concern for governors. State health authorities have called on Congress to provide $8.4 billion for that very purpose. On a conference call yesterday of Democratic governors from the Midwest, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers called for a sequel to the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act adopted by Congress in March, the CARES Act. Casey Kadams, a federal liaison for Washington Governor Jay Inslee, said the situation there is too dire for the state to wait until President-elect Joe Biden is sworn in on January 20th, this according to the AP. There are more mundane problems brewing as well, thanks to the pandemic. NBC News reports that grocery stores are taking new steps to avoid the empty shelves that were the hallmark of the first weeks of the pandemic. Supermarket chains like Kroger and Publix have started to limit in-store and online purchases on products such as toilet paper, cleaning supplies, and paper towels to reduce stress on supply chains. They say they're trying to discourage hoarding. Announcing rationing should do the trick. But please, folks, do try to leave something on the shelves for others. Joe Biden has privately told advisors that he doesn't want his presidency to be consumed by investigations of his predecessor, despite pressure from some Democrats who want inquiries into Donald Trump. That's according to NBC, citing five people familiar with the discussions. Biden has raised concerns that investigations would further divide a country he's trying to unite and risk making every day of his presidency about Trump. That according to NBC sources. One advisor said Biden has made it clear that he, quote, just wants to move on, end quote. The upside is any decisions by Biden Justice Department regarding Trump, his staff, his associates, etc., wouldn't affect investigations by state officials. That includes Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance, who has fought to obtain Trump's tax returns. Separately, Biden announced a number of staff appointments yesterday, the Time reports. Mike Donilon, chief strategist for his campaign and a decades-long friend and advisor, will serve as a White House senior advisor. Donilon will be especially involved in speechwriting and messaging. Biden's White House counsel will be Dana Ramos, who served as general counsel to the Biden-Harris campaign, previously was general counsel of the Obama Foundation. She is a former law clerk for Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. Julie Chavez Rodriguez, a former national political director for Vice President-elect Kamala Harris's presidential campaign, will run the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. Annie Tomasini, now Biden's traveling chief of staff, will be director of Oval Office Operations. And yet, there is still no White House job for Gritty, starting to wonder if Biden is really president of Antifa after all.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin, that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Here's a bit of relatively promising news, also from the New York Times. It's about the results of the most comprehensive and long-ranging study of immune memory to the coronavirus to date. The Times cautions that the research, published online, has not been peer-reviewed nor published in a scientific journal. Yet the research also provides the most hopeful answer yet to a question that has shadowed plans for widespread vaccination. The question, how long might immunity to the coronavirus last? The answer, according to this new study, years, maybe even decades. Findings should come as a relief to experts worried that immunity to the virus might be short-lived and that vaccines might have to be administered repeatedly to keep the pandemic under control. In recent months, reports of waning antibody levels have created worry that immunity to the coronavirus may disappear in a few months, leaving people vulnerable to the virus again. But many immunologists have noted that it's natural for antibody levels to drop. Besides, the Times says, antibodies are just one arm of the immune system. Findings of the new study are also consistent with encouraging evidence emerging from other labs. Think of this as a silver lining to an unfortunate positive coronavirus diagnosis. Probably won't get it again, at least not soon after shaking it.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Pennsylvania Supreme Court threw out one of Trump campaign's longest-running post-election complaints yesterday. According to NBC News, 5 of 7 justices ruled that officials in Philadelphia did not violate state law by maintaining at least 15 feet of separation between observers and the workers counting ballots. The blow to Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who, per the Times, asked Trump's campaign to pay him a day rate of $20,000. Giuliani, of course, denies it. A man is a legend. More election news, this from Michigan by way of the Washington Post. 2 Republican members of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers voted against certifying the ballot count in Detroit area last night, leaving the 4-member board in a deadlock. The move means that the largest county in Michigan has failed to certify the vote by yesterday's deadline. The issue now moves to the state board, which has until December 13 to reach a final decision certifying the winner of the election statewide. But federal law says electors must be chosen by December 8, so keep an eye on Michigan. Iowa's Republican Senator Chuck Grassley said yesterday that he tested positive for COVID-19. Grassley is the 2nd oldest person in the Senate at age 87 after Dianne Feinstein of California. He's also the most senior Republican in the chamber and president pro tempore of the Senate, which makes him 3rd in line to the presidency per NBC. The more you know. A new study reported in The Guardian says that 1% of people cause half of all global carbon emissions from aviation. Stefan Gosling of Sweden, who led the new study, said, quote, "If you want to resolve climate change, then we should start at the top, where a few super emitters contribute massively to global warming." End quote. It's really not cool to be a frequent flyer anymore, particularly on your private jet. Lastly, President Trump on Tuesday fired the Department of Homeland Security official Chris Krebs, who had rejected Trump's claim of widespread voter fraud. Krebs was the director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency and had said there is, quote, "no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised." There was rumors that Krebs would be fired, and it turns out Donald Trump kept at least one promise.
Quicker, quickie.
That's all for today's AM Quickie. Join us this afternoon live at noon for the Majority Report or later as a podcast.